रहे हैं डकार।
हेलो, आई एम गीतांजलि एंड दिस इज माय फूड पॉडकास्ट डकार। यू नो, इन समर एंड इवन मॉनसून वी टेंड टू अवॉइड ईटिंग आउट रोड साइड, बट गेस व्हाट, अ हाइजीन अवेयरनेस कैंपेन हैज बीन लॉन्च्ड फॉर रोड साइड पानीपुरी वालास एंड फूड स्टॉल्स अक्रॉस 40 सिटीज इन आवर कंट्री। तो लास्ट मंथ इन मुंबई पानी पूरी वालों की क्लास लग गई थी। अराउंड 500 वेंडर्स हैड अ सेशन ऑन हाइजीन एंड रिसीव्ड टिप्स ऑन पर्सनल क्लीनलीनेस एंड वर आल्सो गिवन फ्री ग्लव्स एंड नैपकिंस। जिसने भी ये कमाल इनिशिएटिव लिया है ना, आई एम श्योर इज एन एविड रोड साइड ईटर लाइक मी। मूविंग ऑन, आई एम अ लिटिल लेट टू विश फॉर मदर्स डे, बट आई गेस वी शुड सेलिब्रेट दिस डे डेली। सो टुडे ऑन माय पॉडकास्ट आई हैव विद मी समवन हु इज अ फन फूड डूडलर, कलिनरी एक्सपर्ट, फूड राइटर एंड कंसल्टेंट, ओनर ऑफ द प्रेस्टीजियस एंड इनोवेटिव एपीबी कुक स्टूडियो वेयर आई लर्न्ड माय बेकिंग स्किल्स फ्रॉम बाय द वे, एंड मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंटली एन अमेजिंग मदर। लेट्स वेलकम रुशीना घिरियाल।
पेट पूजा ज्ञान भंडार।
रुशीना, फर्स्ट थिंग फर्स्ट, वी हैव बीन सीइंग यू गोइंग ऑल आउट टू प्रमोट लोकल एंड रीजनल क्यूजीन डेज, व्हिच वी हैवंट रियली हर्ड ऑफ बिफोर यू स्टार्टेड सेलिब्रेटिंग इट एंड हैशटैगिंग इट। हाउ डिड दिस अवेकनिंग हैपन?
फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल, नाइस टू हैव यू हियर आफ्टर सो लॉन्ग, एंड नाइस टू बी ऑन योर पॉडकास्ट।
एब्सोल्यूट प्लेजर टू।
सो द थिंग इज दैट व्हाट आई हैव रियलाइज्ड ओवर द लास्ट कपल ऑफ इयर्स इज दैट वी हैव बीन गेटिंग अ लॉट ऑफ इनपुट्स फ्रॉम द रेस्ट ऑफ द वर्ल्ड ऑन फूड। वी आर ऑल्सो एट आर मोस्ट क्यूरियस व्हेन इट कम्स टू फूड इन इंडिया एट द मोमेंट, एंड आई एम नॉट टॉकिंग अबाउट इंडियन फूड बट जनरली फूड। Now, on one hand, we are most curious and we are looking everywhere and, experiencing and exploring food in every possible way. But what I'm also finding is we are losing a lot of our inherent food knowledge. Our radius is growing smaller, so essentially, to use a simple example, at one point in India, the government started promoting the growth of wheat. And because wheat was being promoted, it was being sold, it became a livelihood for farmers, they started growing more wheat. We stopped eating a lot of our traditional millets and other grains because everyone started eating wheat more and more. I'm not saying it was a bad thing for us to have wheat, but we didn't need to lose on our grain and cereal diversity while we were adapting to this new thing. Now, on one hand, we have always been a cuisine that adapts a lot of things and evolves. But, it's like a funnel where once we had 4,000 varieties of rice, today there are only a few, and most people eat surti, kolam or basmati or whatever. Similarly, grain diversity, similarly vegetables that we eat, more and more, we shop at supermarkets. So, the stuff that's on the shelves is typically things that are easy to stock, easy to source. So again, we're losing out on the diversity of vegetables that we used to have and eat, and the seasonality of vegetables that we ate. Because now we're eating cauliflower, carrot, jo aasani se mil jata hai supermarket mein. For me, this wake-up call happened actually last year. 20th March was Macaroon Day, I think. And then just after that, there was Good France Day. And I was involved in the celebrations for Macaroon Day with Sanjana of La Folie, and we were looking. I had done Indian flavored macaroons and everything. At that point, I was going online on 20th to promote whatever I was doing. And just before that, Shekhar, my husband, had commented on how, we're so excited about Macaroon Day and Cupcake Day, but there's not really too much happening about Indian food. So that struck a bit of a nerve. And then what was really interesting is that when I went online on the 20th, there was also another hashtag trending, which was Pakla Divasa, which the Odia community all over the world was celebrating. Because of it, I found out about this whole Pakla concept, which is celebrated on that day in March, because that's the spring equinox, the season's changing to summer. And Pakla is nothing but basically a kind of congee of a sort. So we are happy to have a Chinese congee and get excited about it, but we've got our own pakla or kanji, as we would call it in India, which we don't seem to kind of give enough attention to. So that got me thinking. Then I did a bit of googling on, you know, where do all these days, where did they originate from and stuff like that. Observance days could be for anything, are things that are normally started off by governments or trade bodies or marketing, huge marketing moves. I also found out that we didn't have too many days dedicated to Indian food. So there was an existing Idli Day, a Samosa Day and an Undhyu Day. But nobody was really doing too much about it. So that's where the whole story started. Then I started with Amachar Day. The objective was that each of the days that I have are food concepts. So it's achar or it's biryani or it's pulao, it's masale, it's badi papad, it's sabzi tarkari. And every single one of them has 1,000 variations throughout the country. It's one concept, but we have 1,000,000 varieties of it, and we need to celebrate it and document it so that we are not losing it. You know, because a lot of people are saying that our generation is going to be the last generation with this much food knowledge, because there's so much input coming in from different places, different cuisines. The world has become smaller. We should be proud of what we have. Why should we need somebody to come and tell us a turmeric latte is good for us? We've had our dadimas telling us haldi doodh is fantastic. So why wait for other people to tell us what is great about our food? Why don't we celebrate it ourselves? And hopefully pass on that legacy to the next generation as well.
Absolutely. Rushina, I'm your Insta story fan. It gives me like a lot of food GK. And lately you have been on this mission to educate us about the underrated local sabzis. What is the objective behind a sabzi tarkari din?
I've always advocated the importance of eating a variety of vegetables. I mean, I have friends like Kalyan who will advocate that. Who'll tell you that I've been a pain about it. My kids would probably tell you that as well. Like, my daughter is still somebody who runs away from sabzis. So all of us need to get a couple of bowls of vegetables into us on a daily basis. At one point in the world, we didn't have vegetables because they were seasonal. But abhi, you get some sort of vegetable or the other around the year. So there's really no excuse for not getting your dose of daily vegetables. Because it's not only good for you nutritionally, it's also good for the ecosystem, because it means you're eating less meat, which has a lot of negative effects on the ecosystem. Sabzi Tarkari Din, on the other hand, was part of the Indian food observance days. Sabzi Tarkari Din we did on the 31st of March. And the objective out of that was, we'd done a whole bunch of concepts through the last year. We did Amachar, we did Pulao Biryani Day, we did Dal Divas, we did a whole lot of other things, Masala Day. I realized that, you know, apni thali ko dekho. And if you just take vegetables out, imagine what you're going to have. Even the most meat-centric cuisine will still use certain vegetables to cook with. Not only do the vegetables on our Indian thali bring a lot of nutrition, but they also bring texture. They bring a lot of micronutrients to our diet, which, you know, we normally talk about the cereals and the pulses and the carbohydrates and the proteins, but the micronutrients and the functions, the functional aspects of food come from vegetables. And I've been researching through history as well, and I found sabzi never got its due, you know. But if you look at your Indian thali, you've got color coming in from vegetables. You've got textures coming in from vegetables. You've got so many flavors coming in the, you know, it's not just as sabji, but also as pickles, as raitas, as koshambirs, as salads. You put pyaz, tamatar into your actual, like, even if you're cooking a meat, you can't, normally you would have onions, garlic, tamatar, dal mein lehsun mirchi padti hai. So it's impossible to imagine the Indian meal without sabji in it, no matter how non-vegetarian a cuisine you might be consuming. The idea of Sabzi Tarkari Din was to address four objectives. One was, we wanted to promote buying from local vendors, so your sabzi wala more than your supermarket, for two reasons. One is, then your food producer, the guy who's either growing or bringing your vegetables to market, is getting a direct benefit. The second was that when we buy from supermarkets, like I said earlier, we're losing the diversity of our diet. Because a lot of seasonal greens and all just don't have the shelf life for a supermarket to invest in stocking them. So when you buy from your local guys, you're buying more seasonal, you've got more variety to pick from. Then the second thing we were pushing was eat local and seasonal. So of course, by buying from the local places, but also exploring local seasonal vegetables and how they're cooked in your community or say in some other community. So I remember when I was growing up, Lauki Chana Dal was one combination in my Gujarati house that was horrible. I hated it growing up. And then I ate the same thing, conceptually the same thing, in my Tambram friend's house. And it was completely different and was so delicious. Which made me realize that sometimes hum jaise banate sabzi might not be the best way, and we can find out by talking to each other. And that's how culinary exchange has always happened, right? Cooks talk to each other and someone says, "Arey, you know, aise mat karo, aise karo, ye acha banega." So the idea was discuss sabzis on your WhatsApp groups, get together and have potlucks, and each of you bring a sabzi based dish that is popular in your community or something that your family loves, and exchange that information, put it down somewhere so that it's not getting lost. And I must also clarify that when I say sabzi tarkari din, it doesn't mean it has to be vegetarian. It just means we have to eat lots more vegetables, because we have also got many cuisines that are non-vegetarian that combine meat and vegetables. So a lot of Bengali dishes have seafood cooked with vegetables. So the idea is not to be vegetarian. The idea is to promote eating a lot more vegetables. Then another agenda that we wanted people to push was eating root to tip. We are in the food world, especially with people who are watching what is going to happen, the future of food. There is going to be a lot of problems like that. So recently the garbage dump, there was a fire. Because what happens is that when you discard vegetables whole without treating it properly, it spoils in a controlled condition in a heap of garbage and causes the production of methane. Methane gas catches fire. So around the world, there are movements that are fighting food waste create. One of the ways is to discard food properly. But in my mind, another way is to just create less food waste. The reason why in India we don't have a term like food waste is because the Indian kitchen never created food waste. We used everything. So if you look from north to south, west to east, you will find every Indian cuisine has ways to use up the peels, the roots, the stems, the leaves of plants. And what we didn't eat went into compost. So it went into the plant food cycle. We just need to rediscover that stuff. A lot of it we've stopped doing because we don't live at home or, you know, it's not convenient. But like, we've been practicing it here at the studio. I've been doing it at home. So we use up the stalks of the cauliflower. And in the city, we still get a certain amount of processing to our vegetables. But if you buy at a farmer's market, you'll buy beetroots and mulis with their leaves. And those leaves are delicious. A lot of times what we throw out, like the stalks of the cauliflower or the spinach or the leaves from these plants, actually are more nutritious than the part that we typically eat. So cauliflower ke dantal are far more nutritious than cauliflower itself. And they're tasty as well. It's not like you're going to suffer from eating it or anything. Like this winter, I revived what my grandmother used to do. So when we were small, I remember her teaching me how to clean the shells of peas. So remove that membranous thing inside, and then she would cook them into soup and things like that. So I did it recently and I got my daughter involved to help me. It's the same as sugar snap peas, which are so expensive because they're mostly imported. And it was a discovery because, of course, when I was a kid, I'd never eaten sugar snap peas. So I didn't know what they tasted like. There's so many things like that, little things. So I remember that one day when I decided to use up the dhania ka stalks and I used up the pea pods, normally you would have a full garbage can that you would discard the next morning. That it was one third and it got consumed, you know. So there are ways. I'm not saying that we have to all be crazy fanatics about things, but all small things that can make a difference. And kehte hai na, bood bood se sagar bharta hai. So that was one, the third agenda that we were pushing, which was eat as much of the plants that you consume as possible. And the last thing that we were promoting was eat the local, ugly, seasonal, misshapen vegetable. So
why do you call it ugly?
So ugly is not a term I call. Boring is not a term I call these vegetables. These are terms that people use. Like lauki is boring. Suran and karela are ugly to look at. So I don't think there's any vegetable per se that I won't eat or I detest anymore. These terms have been applied over time to vegetables. And one of the dishes I cook is a malai wali lauki from Garhwali Food. And it's the most delicious thing. In fact, recently when I did the Garhwali meal, I had a lady who was predominantly non-vegetarian. Ended up coming to a vegetarian meal which had kaddu, lauki. She ate all of it and she loved it. And she said, you know, this is one of the best vegetarian meals I've had. So it's just about rediscovering vegetables in a different format sometimes. Then of course, lauki, tori, tinda, these are things that are indigenous to India and they are ideal for the summer. We just have to figure out how to cook them in a more appealing manner. Half the time we don't like vegetables because they're not cooked properly. Like you cook lauki just right and it's perfect. You overcook it and it gets mushy and disgusting. So it's just about cooking it right. There's the ugly kind which is misshapen because they're not perfectly grown in a greenhouse. You'll obviously gravitate to the polished, perfect apple and not the slightly crabby looking one. But there's nothing wrong with that. And when you don't buy something that is misshapen or imperfect, it goes into the landfills or it gets discarded. So it's not being consumed by anybody. The other is the what they call ugly because they're not glamorous looking vegetables. So the yam, the suran, the kolokeshya, the karela. Now I think all of these have diehard fan followings. Like you either love a karela or you don't like it. I'm like a suran convert. I'm a pumpkin convert. So kaddu or something in my Gujarati family never consumed. It's considered a least eaten type of vegetable. But I got married into a Garhwali family where we had kaddus growing in the garden. And I love kaddu today because I never just not discovered it before. So eat the boring and the ugly. They are not really boring and ugly. It's just how you perceive them. So all these terms have been applied over time. And I think maybe we need to unapply them now, you know, and just rediscover things.
You know, we treat food like it's just supposed to be consumed, period. We really haven't thought of a before or after. This awareness was definitely required, Rishina. You know, me being from a small town, there was a weekly ritual of going to Sabzi Mandi with parents. The bargains, the noise, that made me fall in love with vegetables. But scenario has changed now, plus Bombay barely has that kind of space. But I would like to know, since you are in this space, do you take your kids to such places? Like I'm sure what a Dubai mall is to a shopaholic, a sabzi mandi is to you.
Totally. I have to control myself because, so I do a lot of sabzi market trips and things like that. I take a lot of people on market tours. And it's really difficult not to buy stuff. So I basically now only buy enough that I can cook the next day. Because if I try and buy, oh, I'll make this also, then often the veggies sit in my fridge and sometimes I don't get around to cooking them. I am like a crazy kid in a candy store in a market. And yes, I've taken my kids, not as often as I'd like, but I have taken, I remember in fact when Aman was a baby, I took him shopping and I remember for some reason he got fascinated by those chota baigans. Like he wanted one baigan and I was like, I can't buy one baigan, Aman. And he was like four or something. So the sabzi wala gave him one baigan. Then we came home and it was a whole production to cook that one baigan. But you know, he hadn't eaten baigan till then, so he actually ate it. At least he tried it. Then with Natasha, we had a very interesting story. I took her to the market. So we discovered rat tail radish, and I think mostly the fact that it was called rat tail radish is what was exciting. So we bought it and brought it home and then we cooked it. She tasted it. So I think kids need to be involved. Something I advocate a lot is our children in India especially need to learn how to cook, boy or girl. But not only that, and it shouldn't be ki once in a while you do a brownie or a cupcake. Because then you're giving that child the message that that's the cool stuff and everyday food is boring. But they need to learn everyday cooking because they are going to have to fend for themselves at one point. And I'm specifically mentioning men and boys here because I think in India we really handicap our men by not teaching them to cook. They are going to live away from home at some point and they might not have someone to cook for them. at least this will help them either cook basic stuff for themselves or make the right food choices, because it's that age when boys and girls from their late teens to their early 30s, when they're living on their own, is when they make the worst food choices in life. So not only should they learn that, but I also feel it's really important that kids are involved in the day-to-day food procurement, food preparation, food cooking. They should watch their mom's shop. They should cut vegetables with their moms. They should be part of the kitchen. Because otherwise they're sitting at the table, food is being put in front of them. They have no idea where it's come from. And how are they going to learn to appreciate the farmer that grew the food, or the person that brought it to market, or the person that cooked that food for you, if they have not been part of that food production system? So the kids in the kitchen, I remember the first time we did it here, we give them just half an onion to cut, because we are teaching them knife skills. The entire class of 10 kids was crying because the onions got them all, their eyes tearing up. And they got through that. And then I remember them telling each other that, you know what, my mom does this every day. So it, by that simple action, they realize that their mothers are doing this on a daily basis for them. And it changes your perception of, you know, what, how you get your food, even when they're like 10, 11 years old. So I think that is the reason why it's really, really important for kids to experience everything in the house. And I'm not talking about just how food is cooked, but at one point, my son was actually washing bartans because we thought it was important that he learn things like that. We have no qualms about picking up the broom and doing jhadu here also or at home. And that's something we want our kids to learn as well. It's your space. It's your life. If you're not going to look after it, nobody else can do it for you. And that is something we should, especially this next generation, who is going to be more connected to the phone than any previous generation, we really need to instill these things, because it's becoming too easy for them to get anything, whether it's food, whether it's gadgets, whether it's whatever they want. It's so easy. It's like a press of a button today for kids to get stuff, which I think not having in our generations, in older generations, taught us the value of things. And when it becomes too easy to get things, then you start taking it for granted. And you don't look after the stuff, the resources that you have. So hopefully if we can get them to think like that, it'll maybe make them into more responsible adults, which I'm sure if my kids hear this, they're going to hate me.
They sure will today, but will thank you later. And only mothers can give these kind of hands-on training. Moving on, this is like a little food rapid-fire round. So I'll tell you a basic sabzi to which you need to modify it into a fancy dish. Because most kids in India run away hearing the big T, which is the Turai Tinda Tundli.
Before I get into this, I'll give you lots of fancy ideas, but I think a lot of vegetables are acquired tastes. So I don't remember liking certain vegetables. Like I said, I didn't like bhindi when I was younger. I didn't like matar. Karela was something I wouldn't touch as a kid. Because see, there are things that kids are born ingrained with. We have something called taste memory. We are born with something that tells us that green food is actually not good for us. Like, because green was identified with fungus. I'm not talking about vegetables, but mold, green mold would mean something had got spoiled. Bitter taste would mean something was either not good for you, it was poisonous, or it was spoiled. Same with sour flavors. So that's why when you're born, the first taste you appreciate is sweet. First thing you're fed is sweet. Salt comes much later. I think as we grow, we learn to appreciate some things with time, with our palates maturing, with the experiences we go through. As a kid, maybe I would have been forced to eat karela and not maybe liked it too much. But I remember converting to karelas after I ate my mom-in-law's stuffed karelas after I got married. Now I love karela.
So let's tweak it for them. Starting with kattal jackfruit.
Like I said, I'm not giving you a glamorous thing, but you could do pulled kattal burgers. That's a very hot thing. So kattal is this amazing ability to be like a fake meat and carry all those flavors that meats carry well, also because it's something you can slow cook, and that's why it works really well in any of these formats where you kind of, either slow cook it, grill it, toss it with like a teriyaki sauce.
So second is turai.
Most amazing turai version I ever ate was this Chinese stir-fried turai at this restaurant called Henry Thames a few years ago. It's closed now. One of my favorite tori ki sabzis is this Turiya Patranu Shak at Som restaurant. It's an amazing texture and flavor filled combination. But this Chinese soya stir-fried torai was a discovery.
How about Karela?
So again, there is a Thai Karela. We have the green Nali one. There's a white one that the Thais do, which is slightly less bitter. And they stuff it with mincemeat and cook it, which is really, really yum. I've eaten really nice Karela chips kind of stuff. You just dip it in yogurt and it makes a really nice snack. At Indian Accent, they used to do this fried Karela and onion combination with poppy seeds and stuff like that, which was really, really yum. So again, you have to accept ki Karela bitter hai.
Achha, tell me, have you lately come across with any vegetable in a restaurant which had like a complete cool makeover?
So Tara Deshpande did a book recently and she has this Targola salad in it, which was really amazing conceptually. Because we've all eaten Targola growing up in Bombay, but nobody ever really thought of cooking with it or putting it into a salad. So I thought that was really cool.
Wow, suddenly I'm feeling as if I have ample of options to cook a fancy meal at home with not so expensive and fancy ingredients. According to you, what do you think should be the food trend this season?
Recently, I was looking and I saw some newspaper had carried a story on pink lettuce. I was like, ye pink lettuce India mein mil bhi nahi raha hai. Toh hum uske baare mein kyun baat kar rahe hain? Hum hamari cheezon ke baare mein kyun nahi baat kar rahe hain? So my friend Sheetal Kakkad, she does a lot of Gujarati food. We did the potluck for Sabzi Tarkari Din at her house. Two standout things. So one was this Valval ka Sabzi that another friend of ours, Smita Deo, she's the author of a book and she specializes in Karwari food. So she made this Valval, which is like a stew of all the indigenous gods. So Tori, Loki, all of that stuff in a really lovely, subtly cumin scented coconut gravy. And you could just sit and eat bowlfuls of it. It was so light. It was so refreshing. You don't want to eat heavy food. And then Sheetal made something called ghesh, which is a very traditional Gujarati dish. It's basically a millet or a grain cooked in yogurt, like chhas. And it has a slight tadka of a masala on top. And it's again, it's light, it's yogurty, it's tangy, it's spicy. It touches all those notes that make you want to eat something when, you know, in summer you really don't feel like eating. So, you know, we have all of those and I would love to see those things trending. I would love to see us eating dahi and chhas and cooking with our local indigenous gods and having aam panna and all of those things that our grandmothers used to give us in the summer. It would be amazing to see that.
You lately had an Instagram poll that should we have a achar festival? That sounds unique to me. Tell us more about that.
So growing up in mom's house, we used to have this aam achar making session when the season came of green mangoes. And my grandmother would be like lording it over and we'd have all the women in the house upstairs and all of us kids would be there as well because it was normally summer holidays. And you would have grated mangoes happening on one side and you would have chunks of mangoes tossed with haldi and namak, which would be drying in the sun, and all those would be processed over that day into pickles. Now it was an amazing. I remember this time when I was younger because ek to I would chori the little chunks of mango and eat them. God, my mouth is watering now. And the other thing I loved was because we were kids, nobody really noticed us, so we got to hear a lot of gossip around, like about the family, because they kind of forgot we were around. But it was also that whole community aspect of it where everybody got together and did something. And I wanted to replicate something like that since I started the studio. It hadn't happened. So I did it for Amachar Day last year. But the thing that I did differently was instead of just one community pickles, we got six ladies. So my mom taught us chunda. My aunt Usha aunty, she taught us the Sindhi Bhindi pickle, which is a grated mango pickle. Then we had Geeta Sridhar who did a vadu manga, baby mango pickle. We had Sai who did a moricha loncha, which is a sweet mustardy pickle, which is rare. Ria who made a aam chutney. Oh, and I taught the Hinka Achar from Uttaranchal. All green mango based, but all different mangoes, different ways of processing the mangoes, different masalas. And these were six. So imagine from Kashmir down, from west to east, how many mango pickles we have. And that was what we wanted to talk about. So it would be so nice to see different varieties in one place.
I get too poetic and dreamy whenever a food nostalgia hits me up, thinking of plucking a mango from a tree, or granny making papad or achar, or the smell of the achar in the angan, or the smell of the train journey tiffin boxes. I think I have lots of such throwback stories. Thank you so much for reviving them for us and being a fabulous guest on the show, Rushina.
Oh, you're so welcome. It was lovely to have you.
Thank you for tuning in, guys. If you like this episode, do not hesitate to share, like, rate and comment. My Food Podcast Dakar, which as you know has a new episode every fortnight, available on Book My Show Jukebox, Saavn and iTunes. It's featured on the Apple Podcast India lately. Also, you know where I put my Insta stories, right? Dakar123 is my Insta handle, where you can tag me on anything to do with food and more food. See you guys in 2 weeks from now. Until then, have a fantastic day.